You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Fishes on the road was CO. I do something extra ice cream. We are saying the world one ice cream at a time.
Boom.
Yeah. Awesome.
You rocked that.
Way to go, Hunter. Why don't you bring a little something extra ice cream to your next event and find out how they are changing the world one ice cream at a time. All you have to do is give them a call at 256-601-7125 or email extraicecream@yahoo.com. Be sure to follow A Little Something Extra Ice Cream on Facebook and Instagram.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore, Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
Hey folks, it's pumpkin season. At J. Calvert Farms, they are a family farm trying to bring customers the best quality produce that they can buy. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, you can give them a call at 256-636-2752 or email jcalvertfarms@gmail.com or check out their website at jcalvertfarms.com. And did I mention it's pumpkin season? Get over to J. Calvert Farms and find out what we know about this very special farming family. That's J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama. J. Calvert Farms is a proud member of Sweet Grown Alabama.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama, assistant football coach at University of Texas. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another special edition of The Mark White Show. I am glad that you can be with us as we continue to have a special series recognizing cast members from Little House on the Prairie. Mr. Jack Bishop, I want to thank him. He helped organize this. He has set up pickers markets in both Missouri and Illinois. And part of the pickers market that will take place October 8th and 9th is the Little House on the Prairie cast will be there. He's done an amazing job of pulling the characters together. You're going to have Allison Arngrim. You're going to have Charlotte Stewart, Patrick Laberto, who played Andy Garvey. You're going to have Dean Butler, who played Almanzo Wilder. You're going to have Karen Grassley, who played Caroline Ingalls. And right now, I have on the line with me Allison Arngrim, who played Nellie Olson. Wow. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Allison.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, this is going to be wild. And, you know, a lot of it's my fault. It's my fault. Because Jack initially contacted me back for the spring pickers market, and it was a fluke thing. It was just out of left field. And in fact, I told him, because I'd never heard of this event, I said, well, I don't know. Look, do you have kettle corn? Do you have kettle corn? He said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, is there kettle corn? All right, I'll do it. And then next thing is, well, Charlotte said, you know, she did terrific. Let's have Charlotte. Then I get a text from Pat Labrador, and he's like, hey, this sounds pretty good. Now, is this a good event? I go, hey, buddy, I don't know. I've never been. I went to Macon, Missouri. I didn't know there was a Macon, Missouri. I said, I have no idea. You're coming in cold with me. He goes, I'm in. So, well, the three of us went, and we never had such a good time in our life. It was absolutely fantastic.
Great.
And there was lots of kettle corn, and we were so blown away. We told Jack, we said, well, what else do you have? And he said, well, do you want to do the fall Pickers Market?
Nice.
Yes, we do.
I'm so glad he had an answer for that question.
Right?
He could have stuttered around and said, I don't have anything. I'm sorry. This was it. No, it's over.
He said, oh, I have so many events. And I have this one. You did. It's in Lincoln, Illinois. I said, well, I've never been to Lincoln, Illinois. And so next thing you know, then, of course, the phone starts ringing. Of course, then we got Karen. We got Ma Ingalls and Almanzo. Dean Butler said, well, now what is this about this Pickers Mart I hear so much about? Now, you could have half the prairie there. It's just turned into a party. The 8th and 9th, and I've never been to Lincoln, Illinois. I mean, I've been to Lincoln, Chicago. I've never been out there. And if it's half as much fun as the Spring Pickers Mart, I mean, this is going to be great.
And as if the Logan County Fall Pickers Market in Lincoln, Illinois on October 8th and 9th is not enough, you are also participating in Wizard of Oz Days in Hannibal, Missouri. So between Illinois and Missouri, you have your hands full between these two events.
I've got October all booked up, and that was the thing. And he said, "What else do you have?" And he said, "Well, I have this link." And he said, "How do you guys feel about the Wizard of Oz?" I said, "You kidding? I love the Wizard of Oz. You're out of your mind. We're mad for the Wizard of Oz." And he said, "Well, I've got a Wizard of Oz event, and it's in Hannibal, Missouri. Again, have not been to Hannibal, Missouri." And he said, "Oh, and there's a gala, the Gingham Gala. We have an opening party on a riverboat." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, okay, right."
You can't turn this down. There's nothing so far to turn it down. Yeah.
And this year, you know, is the 100th birthday of Judy Garland. Judy Garland will be 100 years old this year.
Wow, bless her
heart. And I did a bunch of events in Los Angeles for Judy's 100th. I went to several fabulous parties celebrating Judy Garland's birthday. And this is going to be a continuing of the Judy Garland's birthday celebration.
And you love her so much, you get to play the nemesis.
Well, that's the fun part. You know me. So he says, well, you know, we have this thing where people dress up. We do some of the characters from it. If the celebrities will do it, you want to be the Wicked Witch of the West? I said, look, I've wanted to be the Wicked Witch of the West since I was like 5. I came by Nellie Olson, honestly. I was one of those people. I thought the villains were the greatest things. When I was a tiny little girl, I saw the musical of Peter Pan with Mary Martin on TV, and I thought Captain Hook was amazing.
Wow.
Said, now that's a part. That's a character. And I would watch these movies, and I liked Vincent Price in the horror movies, and I'd see things with the Wicked Witch and all these characters, and I go, well, these are the interesting parts. And I'd watch The Wizard of Oz, and Dorothy was so sweet, and oh, and I thought the Cowardly Lion was a riot. But that Wicked Witch of the West, I mean, she took over the whole screen. You didn't see anything else when that woman was on. And I read how Margaret Hamilton was actually a lovely woman. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. So, of course, as a child actor, when I got Little House on the Prairie, and I had no idea. I hadn't read the books. I didn't know who Nellie Olson was. I went to that audition, and I read for Nellie Olson. Well, you know, they hired me on the spot, which I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult. I'm not totally sure. It was like, yeah, you. But I had so much fun doing this. Oh, my, I'm the villain. What fun. I am the villain. And I've loved villain roles. I've gotten to play several really nasty, terrible people on stage and in film. And so when he said, do you want to come and be the Wicked Witch of the West? I was like, okay, what time?
That is great. And, you know, you think about the different characters that you might want to play. And as you said, you had an interest in the villains, and some people have an interest in being the sweet people. And I'm glad that there are people who want to do both, right? Because if we don't have that, we're missing very special elements in any TV show or movie or the things that we want to create. You've got to have all of those elements playing their part.
Well, how dull would Little House on the Prairie have been without Nellie and Mrs. Olson?
Absolutely. It was necessary.
It would have been very quiet in Walnut Grove. There would have been and I've played some nice people. There are a couple of plays. I do a lot of theater, and I've done a couple of plays I did where I was so nice that I even had people say, well, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen you be that nice on stage before. So apparently I can't do it. But you know Joe Luft is coming to this thing? Is it Judy's son?
I heard that. That was amazing. I had to look him up because I knew Liza Minnelli, but I did not know about the son, right? So I had to look him up.
You got Lorna Luft and Joe Luft, and Joe Luft, and he's a very sweet, delightful person. He was at one of the big 100th events in Los Angeles I went to. So, yeah, so fantastic. So Joe Luft is coming. It's just going to be wild. And then, of course, we get to dress up. Let's all play dress up.
You know, now that we've talked a little bit about the, maybe the, what's the word that we use for? I always want to say nemesis. That's the word that's coming to my head right now, but it's the
yeah,
other.
Yeah.
What's the other word for it? The antagonist. So we think about that and playing Nelly. You know, a lot of things right now are tied around social media and how people treat others. And mm-hmm. I've covered the subject of bullying quite a bit, and it was something I had to go through and experience as a young person. And so, you know, when you see Nelly there and how hard she is on people, and then the other way around that she gets it sent back to her too, because there are certainly moments that Nelly gets a lesson taught to her because of her behavior. But if you have a message to those, because like Margaret, who played the Wicked Witch of the West, you mentioned how nice of a lady she seemed like. I watched a video of her and she just had the sweetest, nicest presentation. And if you're thinking about from Allison's perspective, what would you say to young people who are struggling right now with maybe a class bully?
Well, it's very difficult. And the thing is, I was bullied. I mean, that's what's so crazy, that I wound up being Nelly, the bully, the scariest person on TV, because I was the person who got beat up by the Nelly Olsons in my school. I was very small for my age, and I had been moved up. Like about half a grade, I jumped up to the third halfway through second, which is a wonderful compliment that they said, yes, you're smart enough, we'll move you up a grade. But it meant that I was now even younger than my classmates. I had that January birthday, which always makes you younger than everybody for at least half the year. Then I got bumped up a bit. And when I was 9, I looked 7. I mean, even when I did little house, I was 12 when I started. I must have looked about 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I looked small for my age. And then all my classmates were at least a year older than I was, all through school. So I was very small. And they do naturally, bullies will pick on the smallest person in the room. And hello, that was me. And I was a bit shy as a kid. I know that seems really weird now, but I think, yes, I was very shy as a child. I'm terribly shy. My friends all look at me and go,
yeah, right.
Shy. Yeah, that's not shy, dear. And I say, well, I got better.
A little bit, just slightly.
I got better. It's the whole thing. Like I followed all these actresses, like people like Bette Midler and Nancy Walker and all these very brassy women. And I read about them and found out they'd been very shy when they were young. So I called it the Bette Midler School of Overcompensation. I thought, well, they go in like they're not shy. Just be really not shy. See what happens. So I was very shy. So it did not go well for me with the bullies. And it was rough. I mean, there were times at lunch I was like, can I just stay like in the library or something? Do I need to go out there? It was pretty awful. And in junior high, I went to a kind of a rough junior high. I wanted to continue into public school, even though I was on the show and some people go to private school, because my friends were all going on. But when we all went on from the elementary school to junior high, it was kind of rough with some of the kids who were there. And I thought, well, this is just going to be it. And getting Little House was actually a great thing for me, because I played this tougher, bullying, awful person, but she was very tough. And it gave me a bit of confidence. And then also a lot of the bullies were afraid of me. They saw Nelly Olsen. They thought it was real. It was great. And they were there. Suddenly they stayed away from him. Like, oh, thank heavens, this is great. that was a relief. But it is very difficult. And bullying, it's amazing. Bullying has changed and it hasn't changed. I mean, it hasn't changed in that there's this horrible instinct in some people to attack people weaker than themselves. It's just warped. And I think, you know, they generally tend to be people who really are very insecure in some manner. And they can't get through the day unless they feel someone is beneath them and they have to attack them. But it's also changed a bit because there seems to be a punching down. Sometimes you'll see kids who are the popular kids. It's like when I was a girl, it was often the unpopular kid. Or
right.
See the popular kids, right? You'll see the popular kids beating up the upper, and you're like, well, what's going on here? Why do you need to be a bully? You're already, you know, the popular person, for heaven's sakes. But people are really hard, and the bullying, it's difficult. Now, of course, you have social media. So what would have been a one-on-one bullying encounter, or maybe a few people, can turn into a school-wide, city-wide event where they get their minions, and suddenly you're being harassed at home via Facebook. So I can't imagine what it's like. I mean, at least I'd go home, and I didn't have to see these people.
Right.
It's terrible. You do have to stand up at some point. Having self-confidence helps. They seek out. They smell fear like dogs.
Absolutely.
Yes. Terrible. They smell fear. So if you are fearless and confident, you really do get bullied a lot less.
Insecurity.
Standing up to them.
Eat it up.
And the impulse is to sort of, you know, cave and cry. It's like, that just feeds them. Oh, that's disgusting. But if you really do, standing up for yourself and being brave actually does have an effect. They're not as interested in that. They don't want a fair fight. They don't want a fair fight. They want a victim.
Right.
It's also very difficult because in some schools, and I've seen it in some schools, where they will turn a blind eye to bullying if they feel it sort of keeps the status quo. It's sort of like a bad prison movie where they let the, you know,
that was what was just going through my mind. Exactly that. Yes.
You've been there. You've been bullied. You've seen where if the kid who was bullying was kind of like the big man on campus, they're like, well, okay, well, we're keeping everything's in order.
Yeah. Right. Hierarchy of sorts.
Yeah. They maintain a hierarchy, and it's like if the person is being bullied, well, they're not important. I guess that's okay. It's like, wait, who thought that was all right? But it does happen. So you may not get the support from the school, the authorities, your parents, what have you, that you think you should be getting, which makes it really hard. You don't always get backup on this.
And, you know, it goes to the idea, the concept of the survival of the fittest. And I've looked at it as this. So if I'm fit, if I'm a person who's one of those that's surviving because I'm fit, then I should reach out my hand and I should help lift other people up and help them become stronger too. Not that, well, I'm towering over you and my existence is because of my strength and my, and I'm just sorry that you don't have those talents and abilities that I have and you're just the weaker person. I want to try to lift those people up and let them know that there are things inside of them like you're talking about. If you tell a kid that's insecure right now, well, you're never going to be secure. You're never going to have that ability to be able to be stronger. Then what are you doing other than smashing their hope in life moving forward? I'm going to tell a kid, look, you may be getting picked on right now, but you just keep being you. You keep finding within yourself the power to overcome this coping mechanism that is put inside of us as human beings. We do have it, and we have to practice it to be able to utilize it in the fullest sense. But if we can take those young people who are being bullied and mistreated and say, I'm going to lift you up, and I have what's called the Cool Kid Award. And so when I hear about a kid that's being treated, he's being treated or she's being treated differently at school, then I take this Cool Kid Award. I put their picture and their name there, and I tell my listeners, this is our cool kid today. And I don't go into the details of what's happening to them because I want it to be positive. I don't want it to be, well, woe is me. I want it to be, this kid is loving, this kid is caring, this kid is smart, this kid is whatever the moms and the dads will send me, caretakers, then I'll put that up there and try to encourage that young person that way and let them be recognized in a special way because I know what it's like to be that kid. And I want to do what Mark White needed 25, 30, 35 years ago for me and do that for somebody now, today.
Well, band together. And that's the other thing. It's the banding together of the people being bullied. You saw it on Little House on the Prairie. Hey, Wizard of Oz, they stuck together. That's how they beat the Wicked Witch. You got to band together. And a couple of times as a kid where I had any success and the bullying really got tamped down was when a bunch of bullied people stuck together. It was amazing. I had an incident where I was very small in elementary school, and these girls were picking on me, and two very tall girls. They were in our grade, and they got, you know how there's every now and then there's some girl, and suddenly she's like 5'9". And
yes,
like,
yes.
What? Well, these two girls, gorgeous girls, but they were absolutely full model height, like 6'6", right? And they stepped in.
Wow.
They just showed up and said, yeah, that's enough of that. And everyone, because they had been teased for being tall, but they also went, well, this is ridiculous. They're just picking on this girl because she's small. Let's go break this up.
Incredible.
And they said, yes, but, you know, call on us anytime. And they kept order. And then in junior high, there was a group of kids. As I said, I was one of the smart kids, and we smart kids sometimes get bullied. Well, there was a group of boys in my algebra class, and oh, they had gotten bullied terribly. I mean, they were classic nerds, and they were getting bullied. And some of their parents had said, I'm going to send you to self-defense class. We can't have you coming home beaten up. So they had taken some karate lessons. I don't know that they were any good, but they at least had a start, and they got confidence. I had gotten already beaten up by this girl and her two henchmen, as it were. She had two boys working with her. Well, they were coming after me, and I came around the corner running for all I was worth, and there were my friends. And I told them what was happening. And do you know, they came around that corner right back at those police, and they all took their karate stance. I don't know what they'd have done if they actually had to go to a physical fight. Probably wouldn't have gone that much. But they stood the ground and said no. And there was a group of us, and I don't think any of us had fully gotten to 5 foot two yet. And they were small, and they were skinny, and they all owned slide rules. And they were all future accountants. But they said, no, we're standing our ground. And the three bullies, they didn't know what to do with themselves. They hadn't been challenged. No one had challenged them. No one had said, no, we're not letting you do this today. And they're like, okay. And it stopped. It stopped. They didn't know what to do. And a group of people who had been bullied like mad for years got together and said, no, we're not doing this.
That is great.
And any time I've seen someone step in where someone is bullying a littler kid and some other kid says, hey, I'm seeing you. No, don't do that. That's not cool. What are you doing? It takes the air out of their sails, and it really does help.
This part's going to make Jack Bishop happy. The Logan County Fall Pickers Market in Lincoln, Illinois is coming up October 8th and 9th. And then over in Hannibal, Missouri, the Wizard of Oz Days, October 22nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Allison Arngrim is who I'm talking with right now. She played Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie. And when we come back, I want to talk more about the Fall Pickers Market and what she looks forward to, because she's already explained that they had a lot of fun in the spring and they're looking forward to having a lot of fun in the fall. And she's booked in October because of these events that she's part of. And I'm so happy that that's happening for you, Allison. And I appreciate the fact that you're able to join me today. And if you'll stick with me, we'll continue on the other side, okay?
Terrific.
Folks, I hope you'll stick with us too as we talk to Nasty Nellie Olson. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525. Or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
For those of us who are directly responsible for the care of loved ones, we want to do the very best we can to take care of them. This is where estate planning is so important. With estate planning, you can still take care of your loved ones even when you're gone. I encourage you to make a plan by going to BamaEstatePlanning.com. Harlan Mitchell has all the tools you need to make a solid plan for your family, just like I did. That's BamaEstatePlanning.com. Make a plan and do it today.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
At J. Calvert Farms, they can't wait to see you at their first annual Fall Fest, October 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, this will be a perfect weekend activity for the kids. Tickets are $8 per child for all activities, plus a free small pumpkin. $2 per activity if they don't want to do them all. There will be discounted prices for families with three or more children, and kids 2 and under are free. For more information, you can give them a call at 256-636-2752 or email jcalvertfarms@gmail.com and check them out on the web at jcalvertfarms.com. J. Calvert Farms is a proud member of Sweet Grown Alabama.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on The Mark White Show.
He drives into the city, extra hard all day, finishes up early so he can get away.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. This, to me, is a very special edition of The Mark White Show, as I have Allison Arngrim on the program with me. She played Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie. And the reason I'm able to connect with her today is thanks to Mr. Jack Bishop, who has organized the Logan County Fall Pickers Market in Lincoln, Illinois on October 8th and 9th, where he will have cast members from Little House on the Prairie. And not only that, but Allison Arngrim is going to go over to Hannibal, Missouri and be part of the Wizard of Oz days, where she is able to live out her dream of being the Wicked Witch of the West. I'm so excited for her to be able to have these opportunities to get to meet with fans and interact with them. I know there are a lot of special moments that they will share with her and how the shows may have made a difference in their life, the impact that they had. And I'm going to ask you kind of a strange question now, Allison, if it's okay. But your parents, did they tell Michael Landon, "I'm sorry, but our daughter has to have braces"?
They didn't. They just said, "Well, this is how it is." And, you know, Melissa Gilbert had to have braces too. There's a lot of kids with braces on TV and you don't see them all the time. Now, I got braces and Melissa Gilbert had them too. So then Ben and I. And the great thing about Little House was there's a lot of TV shows where they didn't take very good care of the kids. And you certainly see the results and hear from people. But Little House, they were pretty strict about the kids being properly taken care of. Like, we did have to go to school.
Nice.
And it was the kind of show, it's like, well, it's time for braces, time for braces. I mean, there are shows where they said, we don't care if your teeth need fixing, we just want you to look like this. But they're like, nope, braces it is. And they did amazing things. I mean, now they can do even better things. They have these clear braces. They can really make them invisible now.
Yes.
Back then, what they did is at the beginning of filming, because we would be off for a couple of months, and then we'd start again in like May, June. My orthodontist would take the brackets off just across the front. All the side teeth and the whole bottom would still have braces. And they had clear brackets they could do, which made it better. And then the wires come off. But then for the lower teeth and the sides, they had what they call orthodontist wax. And you put a little bit of that on that, and it cuts the shine. Now, of course, today with high definition, you can watch a show and you can totally see my braces.
Right.
But back before we had HD, it worked really well.
Yes.
There's something funny going on. They both have braces. But now, of course, it meant we had to wear the headgear, and during the 3 months they put it back on, we'd have to, the people have braces, remember, power chain and the headgear. We had to do all that. And now, of course, they can do very clear wire and clear brackets and much better stuff. But we shot around them, and we had braces on that show. Things we had to go through.
And I just wonder, as you think about people being able to replay, and they can find details that never would have been expected to be found 43 years ago, and now people can go back and look at that. And I will do that. I apologize to you, Allison, because I'm one who does that. And then I also Google people while the show's going. I'm like, I wonder if they're still around.
Right.
I wonder what they're doing with their life. And because I want people to be successful.
It's an internet movie database. Every time a character actor's at Little House, you can go, isn't he the guy I saw in that episode of Bonanza?
Yeah.
And you can pull them up and go, yes. Oh, yes, it is. He played the guy. It's so crazy. And it's true. Okay, before high definition TV, when we did the show, we started in 1974, if you can imagine this. Now it sounds like, BC, 1974.
It was 1974,
I feel like in Mary Pickford, talking about the silent movies, 1974, there was no cable. There were no DVDs. There was no VHS, had not been invented. No VHS, they had no DVDs. There was no cable. There was certainly no streaming, and there was no YouTube, and there was no DVD, nothing. So what you did is you did a show, they aired it. And then sometimes they had summer reruns. And if we were very lucky and the show ran for more than 5 years, they had syndication, and in the afternoons they would run the reruns. That was it. That was it. There wasn't anything else. And people did not expect to see a show. They'd say, well, I'll get to see this episode. They couldn't tape it. They couldn't play it back. They'd say, well, I'll see it again in July, maybe. And so you didn't watch episodes back to back. There was no way to watch them and compare. So if the writers, 5-6 years in, did an episode that conflicted with a plot line in the second season, no one noticed. Nobody knew. They couldn't remember the second season. And then all of a sudden, next thing we know, there's cable TV, there's these other outlets, then there were the VHS tapes, then the DVDs came, now it's streaming. So now, and now, of course, it's high def. So people can now watch all the episodes back-to-back and compare. So one of the great crises we've had is the fact that early on, Albert Ingalls, the character of Albert Ingalls, became addicted to drugs, and then he gets better. And at the end, the narration, Laura Ingalls Roberts
for
says,
a haircut?
Oh, and
get
he got better, and he returned
Butler
to become a doctor
a call,
and became Dr. Albert
in
Ingalls.
Rogersville, Alabama. You
well,
can call him at
several years later, they had the character develop a terrible fatal disease,
that's
which he does not survive,
Rogersville, Alabama.
Which really kind of makes it difficult for him to come back as Dr. Albert Ingalls.
Yeah.
And this created quite a people said, wait a minute, did he die of that terrible disease, or did he get better and become Dr. Albert Ingalls? I'm very confused. Well, what happened is there was a completely different group of writers working on things, and someone sent in the script, and they said, well, that's a good idea. And they said, well, who's going to watch that episode and remember any of that? It's not like they're going to watch them back to back. And of course, here's what's happened. Well, the actor, Matt Labrador, Pat's brother, is hilarious. And he did say, no, here's what I'm going with. You never saw the body. The episode where I die, they just say, well, he didn't make it. But you don't see me. And I say that my character made a miraculous recovery, survived, went to college, and became Dr. Albert. Hilarious. So he said, no, I totally live. But this is the kind of thing. There are plot things, and people on Facebook are saying, well, I sat here and watched all 9 seasons back to back, and this doesn't match up, and this doesn't match up, and this doesn't match up. Oh, also, I have HD, and I can see that they're clearly on a set, and that's a backdrop through the window. It's not Steamy Valley with the real tree. Yeah, they spotted it. It's like, okay, when we shot that, that backdrop looked really good. We even had a fake tree in a pot sitting in front of it, so it looked like real trees through the window. And at the time, there was no high definition. In 1970s television, man, that stuff looked good. So now,
I'll take your word for it.
People are sitting there like, this is not real. This is not real. Sorry, we had no idea technology would reach this level. We would be held to account.
You know, you had to really appreciate, I believe, as you mentioned in the first segment, the role of being Nellie Olson, yeah. Because here you are, years later, you still tell stories for people. They want to see you, and they want to see you as Allison, but they also want to see that bit of Nellie Olson too. And I think about people being typecast, and I know that's maybe a horrible word in Hollywood or in the movies and TV, but that can happen. And a person gets this character, and you really have to either really love what has happened or really not like it at all. It looks to me like, just looking from the outside, I don't know, but it looks like, Allison, you really embrace these many years later.
I have, and that's the thing. There is typecasting, and there's absolutely typecasting, and I know I wasn't seen for some roles I would have liked because, Nellie Olson.
Yes.
But as an adult, I mean, the villains, they are really good roles. So I've played some great villains, had a great time with that. I did a movie called Even in Dreams. It's out on those dreaded DVDs. Out on DVD now. Nice movie about a young woman who's trying to make it in the music industry, but keep her band together and keep her friends and stick to her values. And I play the evil band manager who tries to ruin everything for her. so much fun. So I like that. I didn't mind that. So, well, I'm going to be typecast. I could do worse. At least there's this. But there's a weird phenomenon for all entertainers, and it's so hard. You don't know which thing you do is going to be the thing that makes everybody go crazy. Was it Johnny Mathis in the song Misty? I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. He didn't even like that song.
Oh, wow.
And it stuck. Patsy Cline refused to record Crazy. She was not going to record the song Crazy. They kept saying, there's this great song Crazy, you should do it. She said, I am not doing it. She would hang up on the record producer. I'm not doing this song. And they fought forever to get her to do it. And she said, this is a terrible song, this stupid song, Crazy, I'm not doing this. And finally, Patsy Cline was convinced to do it. And of course, it's her biggest hit, and everybody knows Patsy Cline's
yes.
Crazy. So you do not know what's that thing that everyone's going to go, that's the one we like out of the thousands of songs you record, out of the millions of movies you do, suddenly they go, this movie. The Wizard of Oz, and here we are, and you know, Charlotte's going to dress up as Glinda the Good. The Wizard of Oz was not a hit when it was in theaters.
Right.
It was not a big hit when it came out. It just wasn't. A great movie was not a hit. People did not get it. Years later, people started to get into it. It became a cult classic. And then, of course, started running it on TV. And now you have millions of people who are absolutely obsessed with The Wizard of Oz.
Well, sure.
To the point that we have events. You don't know. And that's the thing. Nellie Olson, Little House struck a nerve. Everyone who was on Little House, I mean, even when you talk about like Jason Bateman, who went on to other things, everybody did Little House in the Prairie. Little House really had staying power. It stuck. It hit a nerve. It's such an emotional show. It hit a nerve. And that's... And Nellie Olson really got into people's heads, which is an incredible compliment. How many actors say, I want the audience to suspend all disbelief and think my character's real? Well, what do you do when that happens? It's yikes. Then it actually happens, and there you are. And so it's fantastic. And over the years, I went, okay, I could spend all my time saying, I can't talk about Little House. No, I don't want to have any questions in the interview about Little House in the Prairie. No, I can't talk. Do you know how much time out of your day that would take? I would be spending hours of each week
yes.
saying, no, I can't talk about Little House. I don't want to talk about Nellie Olson. That's exhausting. And then everyone sort of tense and do we say, and for what? There are people from the show who said, well, I'm not going to focus on Little House. And years later, they're all coming back now and doing more events because they said, well, it didn't go away. Yeah, I tried that. And to what end? It didn't make any difference. I might as well talk about Little House.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. A hit. And I like the character and I like the show. And I had no idea the show would still be a hit 50 years later. People will be watching it every day. We have young people who are watching it on their phones.
Yes.
Who knew? And the character resonated with so many people that I thought, well, can't beat them, join them. I'm kind of crazy at this point if I don't embrace it. I'm just like, you know, cutting off my nose to spite my face. So some time ago, I went, okay, I'm just going to get on board with this thing and see what happens. And it's just gone very well for me. And I've been able to be in movies and web series and TV shows and theater and stand-up comedy and a one-woman show and had a successful book and everything. And... talking about Little House and Prairie doesn't seem to have hurt me at all.
And Allison, when I think about who you were able to act with, and now you're the torchbearer because you think about the fact that Richard Bull's no longer with us, Catherine McGregor's no longer yes. with us, Michael mm-hmm. Landon is no longer with us, and if you go through all the different characters that are no longer here, yes. you are the one that people want to hear. Well, how was it to work with Richard Bull? How was it to work with Catherine McGregor? What were they like? And you're answering these questions because they can't speak for themselves anymore. And it's like me living an existence and telling about my grandparents who raised me. Well, this is what my grandparents were like yep. telling it to my daughter. And you're able to explain some things that can't be explained other than if you tell people, well, no, I'm not going to talk about it. Well, then nobody ever gets any more of the story.
Right. We get the stories. And also I'm fascinated with history. And so I did read the books and I did read about the real Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Wonderful.
I've been to many of the historical sites and I've even found out all about the real Nellie. Do you know Nellie was based on 3 different people?
Wow.
I'd heard about that there was a Nellie Owens and that Laura was still terrified of her, so she changed the name in the books to Nellie Olson because she's going to come back after.
Oh, no.
She was writing about Nellie. Nellie Owens was absolutely in Walnut Grove. But then as she wrote the other books, even then she was getting fan mail saying, ooh, we want more stories about Nellie. So she said, well, what am I going to do? Because the real Nellie Owens, after Walnut Grove, she moved to Oregon. I never saw her again. So she started writing about this girl, Genevieve Masters, and this other girl, Stella Gilbert, who she knew in South Dakota, who were really awful. Oh, that Genevieve, she tried to steal Omanza. She was terrible. And she just said, fine, I'm just going to say they were all this Nellie character, and that gets me off the hook with Nellie Owens. And so she created this character. Really, I say it took 3 people to be as mean as me. And I've been to Oregon, Forest Grove, Oregon, where the Owens are buried. I have been to my own grave.
Wow.
And so I'm fascinated with the history of it. So I wind up going and speaking at things and getting on the Facebook groups that are about the real lore and the history stuff. Because so I'm a history buff. So it's terrible. I can tell you all about the show. I can tell you all about the books. And I can tell you all about the real people.
That's right. Well, that's good. And I'm glad, because that's what Charlotte shared with me, is that she had not delved into the series at all, into the books, until the role came up. And so she started to have a great appreciation for Little House on the Prairie and what Laura Ingalls Wilder had done to write these stories.
Well, I got so into it that when the pandemic hit, and here in L.A. and in March, they said, well, look, things are closing, and then everything closed. And, you know, I was booked that year, 2020 there. I had gigs all through October. I was going all over the country. I was supposed to go to France. And everything shut down. I said, whoa, what am I going to do? Because most of my work involves other people, either autograph shows or theater or stand-up or traveling.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, I'm just sitting here on my own here. And my husband said, he said, don't worry, you'll think of something. You always think of something. And my initial reaction was, oh, you're a lot of help. And then I said, well, you know, I should take this time. Reading is good for you. Reading out loud is a great exercise for any actor. Anyone who wants to be an actor, start practicing reading things out loud in your living room. It's good for you. And I thought, I should read. I'll go back and reread the Little House books from the beginning, how the characters develop over the 9 books, see what happens. And I thought, well, this will be fun. And then I thought, wait a minute. Everybody else is stuck at home and bored out of their minds. I'll go on Facebook Live. And so there I am, it's like March 2020, and I'm sitting there in my living room with a book. And I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the books, and I'm going to start with Little House in the Big Woods, chapter 1, page 1. And I'm going to read this to you guys. And I put on my bonnet, and I said, and we can keep this up as long as this goes on. The woman wrote 9 books. We can do this all day. And you know, I read every day. I then took a couple little breaks. I read all 9 Little House books. And then I read books about Laura Ingalls Wilder, the historical books. Then I read books by her daughter, Rose. Then I read some of the Wizard of Oz books, and I read some of Anne of Green Gables. And then I read books inspired by Laura Ingalls Wilder. Then I went back and I read all 9 books again in order. And then I read some more books inspired by her, and I was just reading some Archie and Mehitable. Oh, and I just finished with a marvelous book called Little House in the Ozarks, which are articles that Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote as an adult when she worked for a newspaper. And they're fascinating because they're all the turn of the century, and she's talking about World War I. She's talking about the influenza pandemic.
Yes.
And she's talking about women about to get the right to vote. All these things, it's all 1919, 1920, fascinating stuff. And so I read that. And then I said, guys, I've now done 600 readings. I got to take a little break. I'll come back. It's been the best thing ever for me and for my fans. It kept everyone amused during lockdown. And people formed little groups. There were people who were kind of stuck and weren't able to travel and go out. A guy in L.A., a woman in New York, they became friends on Facebook during the readings, and they're still friends. And
wow.
These people, they formed a community online. They would say, oh, it's time for the Allison reading. Get your bonnets on. What are we reading today? And they started to talk to each other, and we formed a whole community on Facebook of people who are able to support each other and are still friends now. And then I started doing cooking videos and a whole bunch of stuff, which I'm still doing. And I'll probably find something else to read in a few weeks and go back. I got a proclamation from my California state senator of my district, sent me a beautiful proclamation for encouraging literacy and raising morale during the pandemic and putting out the history of the works of Laura Ingalls Wilder.
And you didn't realize that I was actually watching. I knew exactly.
Were you on there? Are you one of my tribe? Were
I
you
knew
watching?
Exactly what you were doing. I saw you with your bonnet and reading the stories, and I
wasn't
actually,
that fun?
It was, and I tried to reach out to you because I wanted to have you on the show back then, and it took Jack Bishop to make it happen. I was trying
so
to
So you're somewhere in my Facebook direct
yes.
messages, like the back file spam.
That's right.
Somewhere in there. Well, yeah, Jack's the one to do it. How much fun was it? You enjoyed it?
It was wonderful.
It was so much fun.
Absolutely, it was wonderful. And I'll tell you the connection. There was a lady, her name's Katie Wright, and I don't know if you remember Katie mm-hmm. Wright, but Katie sat at a table with me at a restaurant, and we were talking about the subject of domestic violence, and she's big mm-hmm. into bringing awareness to domestic violence. And she said, yep. Oh, well, I know Allison. She said, I'll connect you with Allison. And it, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But here we are today, and we've got two great events coming up. So it's wonderful. The timing is great to be able to have you on the show and finally get to talk to you, because I was watching and I was listening as you were sharing.
Oh, I'm so glad. And as I said, there are people, I had people write to me and say, you have no idea. This is totally keeping me going during all of this.
Absolutely.
Said, what do you think I'm doing it for? I'm keeping me sane.
What else were we going to do?
Right. I said, I'd get up in the morning and go, oh man, what am I going to do today? Oh, well, I guess I'll put on a bonnet. That's right. I'm reading at 1:30.
Yeah. Okay.
And I get out my book and my bonnet, have my little snack. Oh, hey, everybody. I mean, and then I talk to people. I see the comments. We talk. I talk about, you know, what, oh, National Day of the Week. And what, today's National Day? This hot dog. Oh man, we had a blast. And then I'm doing so much, and I did so much online. I've been doing my stand-up show online. I've got a talk show podcast thing online, and it's like, fine, we'll do it online then. And it was amazing, the creativity I saw. I was supposed to go to Ireland and give a speech at a marvelous women's conference. They said, well, we can't do it.
Aww.
And then they called back and said, whole conference is online. Come do your speech. Just do it in your living room. Can you sit? And I'm like, done. And so we just, everything suddenly, my living room is a mess. I shoved the sofa to one end, so that's the living room with the TV. The other end of the living room, we got a backdrop and
nice.
Like lighting, and it's a studio. We just turned half the living room into a studio.
That's wonderful. And it looked very neat. You did a great job. And during that time while you were reading, I was going after people like Don McLean and Crystal Gayle and those who weren't so busy. And I had Don McLean on the show. I had Crystal Gayle. I had T. Graham Brown. I had Ricky Skaggs. I had so many people.
Because they were home.
They were home. And I was like, this is my one chance. And the publicists and those people were telling me, they said, Mark, he said, you've hit a great time to bring these people onto the show. And I was like, I know, because they're not in concert. They can talk to me, take a few minutes. Otherwise, once the COVID's over, once the pandemic's over, they're back to, I'm sorry, we're busy, booked
back
up.
Back on the road.
Not going to talk to the Mark White Show. Who are you, by the way? What do you do? I'm like, I'm me, and I try to help people. Is that enough?
The things that came out of that, the camaraderie, the things, the creativity. So many actors and comedians I know who initially were like, oh man, what am I going to do? And they started doing stuff online. They did some of the funniest stuff out of their living rooms I've seen in years. Just brilliant, brilliant stuff. So this creativity, and then the people who said, look, we've got to do something. And I have some of my friends who are like, look, I got asthma, I'm immune compromised, I got diabetes, I really can't go out and take any risks at all with this thing. So they're like, what do I do? They created these communities by phone and by internet, and it's fantastic.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things, was me talking to nurses and doctors, and I'm a former police officer.
Yeah.
And so I dealt with first responders, and I would bring people on the show that were handing out goodies at the hospital or doing things that they could to try to keep things going, to keep people showing that there were people out there making a difference. And it really was a time where I went from one show a week to literally six shows a week because of the fact that I felt like we needed more positive, good stories. And then
you wound up doing more stuff during the pandemic.
Oh, sure.
Exactly. I became I thought, oh man, I'm going to have nothing to do. I became the busiest woman on earth.
Yes. And then John Krasinski, he started a show about doing good. And I thought, man, I wish I'd had a name like John Krasinski. I would have built my audience. I would have had a million, I would have had a million people the first day. And here I'm grinding away, you know, with my few thousand. And, you know, it's now at 37,000 people, almost 38,000. But
there
I'm very proud of what we've built, because they are people who are ready, willing, and able to help those that we share about on the show. I had a lady the other day that her dog, it was actually a rescue dog. It was thrown out of a vehicle, left in the middle of the road for dead. And the dog is rescued. Well, the dog is deaf. And so the lady, she messaged me and she said, this is my baby. His name's Cricket. I need a collar with the GPS tracking because the dog wanders off and can't hear. And it was $480. And I told her, I said, okay. I said, we're going to make this happen. Some hunters had actually told her what to get because she can't deal with internet towers where she's at. And it has to be something that can track without internet, with the signal, without the signals.
Right. You're out in the middle of nowhere and the dog is deaf.
So it's more expensive.
Right?
Yes. And this covers 9 miles. And I told her, I said, we're going to make that happen. I said, we're going to get there. She messaged me yesterday and someone that listens had donated $100. And she said, I'm crying. And for me, Allison, it doesn't matter if it's a dog collar or if it's someone who needs a kidney or a child with cancer or a house burns down and they need clothes. It doesn't matter if it's an individual who's sitting at a stop sign holding a sign that they need food and you can hand them a gift card. It's everybody needs to know that they're worth something and they have value and that they can make a difference whatever position they're in. And I found that through COVID, it was my time to really show and highlight because we saw so much negative and I had enough of it. I turned the news off. I turned a lot of things off in my life that I could focus. You are my news, Allison, right now. You are my purpose as I talk to you because I may not get another chance to interview anybody else. But this right here is my purpose as I'm speaking to you because we don't know what the next hour, the next day holds. I tell people, make your purpose the person you're in front of right now.
Well, my show I do on internet radio is the Allison Arngrim Show. I open every show. I say, it's the Allison Arngrim Show. Well, we talk about things that make you feel good. The TV shows and the movies that made you feel good and the people who made them. And people are doing things now to make the world a better and more interesting place. It's literally the theme of my show.
I saw your podcast. I looked at it last night and I saw that slogan and I thought, well, mine's News That Unites. And that was actually given to me by a guy from CNN. I was actually behind ABC and next to CNN at an event. And I explained to the CNN guy what I do on my show. And he said, you know, that sounds like News That Unites. Well, I quickly went over to the web and searched to see if anybody had ever bought News That Unites, and they had not.
Did somebody own this or going to use it?
Yes, I purchased newsthatunites.com. I trademarked it with the Secretary of State. I was like all over this. I was like, News That Unites, that's perfect because we want to share news that will bring people together and find common ground because there's too many places where we don't. And I want to be able to show where we're not so different as sometimes we would think we are. We're closer to being similar than dissimilar.
When I was doing I'm still doing them. I do the cameos, you know, people can, you know, rent me to say happy birthday there and the little messages and things. I did so many during the pandemic where I got requests, and the usual birthdays, and others were, well, we can't have a birthday party this year for my friend. We can't travel into a party show. Can you cheer her up? And I'd say, well, take the whole month for your birthday, for starters. New pandemic rule, you get the whole month for your birthday. And I got so many calls. My friend is working in a hospital, sometimes a hospital in New York or a major city, and can you give her a pep talk? She's been working, you know, 24-hour shifts. And so I got so many of that, of supporting people who are first responders or working in hospitals. It's like so much fun.
How did it make you feel? I know it's fun. How did it make you feel to be able to do that, to know that you were in a position that could make somebody feel better?
Well, I felt it because when the things are, my husband and I, well, my husband, Bob, we met at AIDS Project Los Angeles. He was director of the Southern California AIDS Hotline. I was a volunteer, so we met. And so we dealt with crises. And in fact, when it hit, I said, what are we going to do? He said, well, we'll get through this. It's not our first plague. And that we'd find something to do. And his job, because he's working, he's down near the airport. The company he's working for are building this people mover thing down at Los Angeles International Airport, which is badly, badly needed. So they said, well, you guys are transportation. You're essential. So here's your note card and you can go to work. So he said, well, I'm going to work. And we kept going, and all we could think of is what can we do for other people? Because we were doing okay. It's like, okay, well, our rent's paid, and we got food in the fridge. We're fine. What are we going to do? I called all my friends and people who weren't getting out of the house. We were delivering toilet paper and food and calling people, go, what do you need? And driving over to people's houses and checking in with you, okay, you know. And we kept thinking, oh, no, our favorite tiny restaurants, they're all doing takeout and delivery. They're going to go broke. So we started ordering takeout and delivery, whether we, like, needed it or not. Like, what do you want? Let's get the Chinese again. We'll get the Chinese food. We don't want them going out of business.
Yes,
quick, call them.
Exactly. I get it. I understand.
We went to pick up, and they had a line around the block, and we went, okay, their food is that good. I think they're going to be okay.
I had a follower, Allison, that messaged me and wanted me to give out eggs. And so they had plenty of eggs, and I found cartons from a person. Several people actually donated cartons, and I would go up to their little farm, and she would have the egg cartons filled, and I would deliver those. Me and my daughter, we delivered eggs to different communities. And then another farmer heard about it, and he wanted to donate eggs. And so we loaded up the trunk of the car with eggs, because that was hard to get to. And we were out delivering eggs, me and my daughter, and like yourself, going out with paper towels and toilet paper when I could negotiate getting cleaning supplies. And we've got some World War II veterans that were living close by and part of an organization. So we would get them the cleaning supplies that they need, some hand sanitizer and things that would help them. And so whenever we could come across it, we would give it to the veterans and try to help them. Because as you know, there were a lot of people who were really struggling. And if there was a restaurant who would say, Mark, I'll give you this much in gift cards, and I could go and give them a gift card and say, feed your family, enjoy this. Yeah. That was gold to me to be able to do that for somebody.
We want to do anything we could to help. We're getting stuff. And I got very clever at finding things. I found out the most amazing thing. Because, you know, people go to Costco. It's the big thing. Go out here to Costco to get your toilet paper. Stuff, and people are running out of toilet paper. And so it was a whole supply line thing. But I found out it all depends which Costco you went to. Because, you know, people get in a rut. And it's like everyone is going to this one Costco. And I love that Costco, too, but everyone's going there, and that's what. And I looked and went, you know, there's another Costco. It's not 10 miles over. Let's go over there and see what's going on. Nope, everyone, like, forgotten that this Costco existed. They had all the water and the toilet paper and the lights on. I was like, shh, don't tell anybody, but I know where there's toilet paper. Come with me. everyone was helping each other out, and it was just so crazy. I was ready to go volunteer down at, like, the testing center, and I kept saying, we've got to do something. What can I do to help people? What can I do? And then that reading thing started, and next thing I knew, I was on the internet, and the number of people who said, no, you have no idea. This is, I'm just barely getting through the day, but at least I know for half an hour, I'm sitting around reading along Little House on the Prairie with Alice and Argueta Bonnet. Seemed to help. I thought, okay, well, I guess I'm doing this.
And it was great. I do want to compliment you on that, because I know that you didn't realize all the different people from different places, because it is a world where you go ahead and show your creativity, or you do what you want to do. And then all of the different listeners out there, you don't know where they're listening from, watching from necessarily. And it may have touched someone that you will have no idea that it ever had any impact or effect on them, but it does have an effect. And you could have a generational effect in one moment if it changes someone's trajectory. And that's possibly what you did, Allison, was help to take that burden of what we're facing with COVID and the pandemic into something that, okay, I'm going to calm my mind down. I'm going to get peaceful for a minute. We're going to focus on what we can do, not what we can't, and we're going to move forward. And I'm sure that there were people out there that did that, and I'm probably one of those people, because I saw you doing it, and I thought, well, she's getting to work, and we're going to make sure that we're getting to work, too, on my end, because it takes all of us to work together to help make this thing move.
And God, do something. And so my actor friends, you know, that little ring light. Everybody's got the ring light for their picture. I have a little ring light. But I found one that was not very expensive, a plastic model, and you put your phone in it. It's got the little ring light. I can't tell you how many of those I bought for actor friends. They could do shows at the living room. They said, I don't have anything. One woman, she said she was taping her phone to the wall. And I said, no, you got to do the at-home auditions. You got to do here, let me get you. What's your address? And I was like, everybody for Christmas getting a ring light.
You do this at Costco, and you do it outside of Costco. So you are the go-to person, Allison. That's what it sounds like.
You're right? And I was like, here
let me tell you this little secret.
I made a list of all the equipment that I use to do my show.
Great.
And like emailed it to all my actor friends going, here's where you can find all the equipment.
Could you email that to me, by the way?
I will. I will give you my equipment list, because I had gone to a class at the Screen Actors Guild about like doing home auditions like ages ago. And the guy had talked about setting up your lighting, the camera. And he said, you don't need expensive equipment. He said, if you're really stuck, you're in a hotel room. He showed how to rearrange the lamps in the room. So he'd have a three-point lamp. He said, a shower curtain makes a great background. He said, I have all the expensive equipment, but I got a shower curtain stuck to my wall because it's the best color for me with the background. And so he showed everyone how to do it. And he said, there's the expensive model, the sort of cheap model, and the dirt cheap model. There's all these ways you can do it. And he had a website. And I went out few days later and bought some lighting and a backdrop thing and a bunch of stuff. Well, when the pandemic hit, I had half the stuff ready to go. And then I found out, you know, you can order backdrops online on Amazon of everything. I got a Christmas backdrop and a Halloween backdrop.
Oh, nice.
I just had a lovely desert scene for the other day. Yeah, it's crazy the stuff you can get. So, I will pull up my list.
Thank you. Thank you.
My friends have said, this is great. I didn't know this stuff.
This is wonderful because it's the conversation within a conversation. And now that our listeners are here, they're like, well, where are we at? Allison and Mark are talking about emailing back and forth. Where did we go? You're still here, listeners. And Allison is still here. We just had to take a little side track just a minute. But I do want listeners to know again that you are going to be at the Logan County Fall Pickers Market in Lincoln, Illinois, October 8th and 9th. And that's Saturday, 10 to 5, Sunday, 10 to 4. Admission is $5, children 12 and under free. And in addition to having you there along with Charlotte Stewart and Patrick, the name gets me every time, Laberto
drives us crazy.
Laberto, yep. Dean Butler, and Karen Grassley. There's also going to be antiques, architectural salvage, fall decor, jewelry and clothing, repurposed finds, original art, handmade crafts, food, and some good old junk, as Mr. Jack Bishop likes to say. And then I also do want to mention The Wizard of Oz, Hannibal, Missouri, October 22nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Vendors, artists, authors, crafts, entertainment, food, and lots of fun located at the Mark Twain Cave Complex. That's interesting to me, in Hannibal, Missouri, the cave complex for Mark Twain. Very cool. 300 Cave Hollow in Hannibal, Missouri. And so I wanted to make sure we got that out there too, Allison, because we certainly want to support those who support us. And kettle corn.
Is that at both places?
Will it be at Hannibal too? Hannibal and Lincoln?
I hope so. I love kettle corn.
Double dipping. That's awesome. I'm going to be in Macon, Missouri on the 1st and 2nd with my daughter, Cora. She's going to get to eat ice cream with Elizabeth and with Rachel. So Rachel and...
Well, those are my friends, the Waltons. I'm friends with all the Waltons, and they're having a shindig over in Macon where we were.
Cammy is going to have some ice cream with Cora, and I told Cammy last night, I said, well, my daughter's named Cora. She said, that's perfect because of Cora Beth. Ours is Cora Grace, but we love the name Cora. Found out we had about 3 or 4 members of the family from the early 1900s that were also named Cora and had no clue when I named it. I just loved her name. So Cora is so excited. If you tell her, you're going to eat ice cream with Elizabeth, her face, she gets so giddy. She's 8 years old, and she's so excited to meet cast members, and I'm hoping we can get over there and she can meet you too, Allison.
Oh, yeah, and you will love the gang from the Waltons. They are so much fun. Mary with Aaron and the whole gang, and I'm just friends with all that gang. And the Prairie people, it's lovely to know that the Prairie people, the Waltons people, all speak to each other.
CBS, NBC. And, yeah. Yeah, got it.
I know we were rivals in the day, yes. But we're all friends now. I'm telling you, it's just you will have a blast with them.
Well, I hope I can be one of those friends now too, Allison. I appreciate you and the fact that you took this much time to join me here on the show. It means a lot to me. It really does. So I want you to know that I really appreciate you taking time here on the Mark White Show today.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been great fun.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I don't want to hear somebody, oh, it was completely miserable. They turn around and the show typically goes good because I just want to have a traditional conversation with the person and see where it goes, you know. So it's flowed very well, and I've enjoyed this. And you're a fast talker. You really are.
Oh, yeah.
I can see where the comedy comes in easily. You got to talk fast for comedy, because if they don't think the first thing's funny, you got to roll in with something quick.
And be like, get to the next one
That didn't work. Your mind's moving so fast. That didn't work. Okay, what's the next thing? And then you spit it out, and they laugh. Finally, okay, move on. Got to keep the show going.
Oh, I tell you. Oh, it's a hereditary thing. Yeah, I mean, I was born in New York. I was raised in L.A., but I think it's a New York holdover and everything. It's spit it out.
Which borough?
I was born in Queens.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have a cousin that lives in New Jersey, and he travels to New York every day, and he goes to Harlem, and he goes to the Bronx, and he goes to Queens, and he does Bible studies. He's actually a preacher in Spanish, so he preaches in Spanish, and he lived in Argentina for a while with his wife. They were in Argentina, and my grandfather, who spoke Spanish too, they spent time down there together, so it's pretty amazing. I've been there to New York with him, and I actually was able to go to the Holocaust. There's a museum there in New York. I was able to be a part of. They did Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish, and they invited me to come up there to enjoy Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish. And that was me and Cora sat on the front row and just enjoyed that form of Fiddler on the Roof. And I had some of the characters from Fiddler on the Roof on the show years ago.
I love New York. I've always loved New York. I love Broadway. I love all that stuff. But, oh, man. Now, do you speak Yiddish?
I do not. They had translation in there. So as you're watching the screen.
You know who spoke fluent Yiddish and Hebrew?
Who?
Michael Landon.
Really?
Michael Landon. Michael Landon, who was born Eugene Orowitz.
Yes, that's right.
And changed his name to Michael Landon Show Business, was Jewish, and he had, you know, had his bar mitzvah and everything. He spoke Hebrew. He spoke fluent Hebrew and Yiddish.
Wow. I was impressed. And I'll tell you this, while I'm thinking about it, Allison, the play is back on. So they've got it back in New York. It's back on Broadway. It's actually off Broadway, but the Yiddish Fiddler on the Roof, if you get a chance to go and to see it in person, you'll really enjoy it. I enjoy Fiddler on the Roof in the way that it was. And of course, that was during the time of Little House on the Prairie. We're talking about 1974, I believe, when it came out.
Right, exactly.
So So I've watched it so many times, and then to see it in a different way in Yiddish. And as you watch them speaking, you can see the fine mist coming out of their mouth because of the way Yiddish language is and the lighting. I'm like, wow, that's really going far. So
you will spit when you talk. Yes. It's like if you speak French properly, you'll get a little in there. You're not doing it right.
It's great. But I wanted to mention that since you said you were from New York. But I do appreciate your time today, Allison, and I look forward to your email. And I can just upgrade the Mark White Show starting tomorrow. All right.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Let's see here. There it is. I'm pulling this up right now. Absolutely.
Excellent.
How I Did My Show Online. That's literally what I titled it. I was like, what do I call this document? That's it. And it's a list of everything I amassed, all the equipment to do all of my stuff, and literally, and where to get it.
Awesome. That is awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
I'm going to hold you for just 1 minute because I want you to do a liner for the show if you don't mind, but we'll do a close out and then we'll roll out, okay? All right, here we go.
Okay, cool.
Thank you again, Allison, for joining me here on the Mark White Show today, you nasty Nelly Olson.
Thank you. That's always a compliment when I hear that.
Well, that's what Jack loves to say. He said, nasty Nelly Olson's going to be there. And I was like, well, I like that too. So I started using nasty Nelly Olson.
What's that, got that alliteration thing?
There, I got your email. Great. Thank you. I just received it.
See, you're all set now.
Yes, folks, here on the Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers like Allison R. Grimm. Who knew that Nelly Olson could make a difference? She sure did. And she's continuing to make a difference in the lives of others. And we appreciate that. And we look forward to this event on October 8th and 9th in Lincoln, Illinois, as they do the Logan County Fall Pickers Market. I hope that you'll check them out on Facebook. That's the Logan County Fall Pickers Market. And then over in Northeast Missouri Pickers Market, taking place October 1st and 2nd. And then Wizard of Oz in Hannibal, Missouri on October 22nd. Be a part of these efforts. And I've shared about how you can reach out, and I hope that you will reach out. Go to the Facebook pages and be a part of these events. You may see me and Cora hanging around these characters from the Waltons and Little House on the Prairie. Here on the Mark White Show, we are recognizing difference makers, and I want you to share the show with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. If you had fun, they'll have fun. So share it. Facebook, Instagram, follow the show. Podcast platforms, follow the show there on the podcast platforms. You have been listening to a special edition of the Mark White Show with Allison Arngrim, played Nelly Olson on Little House on the Prairie. And this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month, where the eye captures the moment and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out alabamathebeautifulmagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
At the Tennessee Aquarium, you can explore the Earth's biggest rivers, swim the ocean's hidden reefs, and discover new creatures that stretch the imagination. Experience a world of endless adventures at the Tennessee Aquarium.
You're invited to the Logan County Fall Pickers Market October 8th and 9th in Lincoln, Illinois. Cast members from the Little House on the Prairie will be joining us for their special Pickers Market. At the Pickers Market, there'll be antiques, vintage, architectural salvage, fall decor, jewelry and clothing, repurposed finds, original art, handmade crafts, food, and some good old junk. For more information about the Logan County Fall Pickers Market, you can email gravelroadmarket@gmail.com. You can also follow Logan County Pickers Market on Facebook.
People who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of